that, so I don't walk off with it. Good morning, everybody. Well, I think I might as well go home, actually. I think Eden's already said it all, and we've sung it all, haven't we? I mean, God is with us. He strengthens us. He has things, plans for each one of us, his work. But anyway, we're going to think about Haggai and some of the things that he said, and first of all, who he was. Because actually, if you're like me, most of you have probably just read the odd verse in the past, or maybe you have read the whole book, but it tends to sort of go in one ear and out the other, doesn't it? And it's good to have a bit of context. So who was Haggai? Next slide, please. There's some bits of information about him there, but I'm going to tell you about it as well. We don't actually know a lot about him. That's the first thing. So I'm not going to tell you his life story, but I am going to tell you that he prophesied during the reign of King Darius, and his words can be dated pretty specifically to around about 520 BC. That's because he gets a mention in the book of Ezra, chapter 5, which dates him to the time of the rebuilding of the Jerusalem temple after the exiled Jews had returned from Babylon. I'll test you on all that later. Ezra chapter 5, verse 1 to 2 says this. Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, so a bit more about him in a couple of weeks' time, a descendant of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, you might recognize those names, which David read so well, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. So that's really important, isn't it? Haggai was around as the temple was being rebuilt, and he supported those who were rebuilding him. He encouraged them. And our whole series on the minor prophets is about encouragements for us today. And it's great to have this encouragement going on then, but it's also great to relate it to us, and we'll be doing that a bit later. Haggai was probably prophesying round about the time of a religious celebration, perhaps the Festival of the Tabernacles, a festival that was to do with the gathering in of the summer harvest. And his name actually means feast. He encourages the Jews who've returned to Jerusalem after their exile in Babylon. Already a few years before, they sort of started the job. You know, when you start something and then you get a bit distracted and you forget to do it, or actually you can't really be bothered to go, well, I have bits of knitting and sewing like that, and I'm trying to sort of finish them before I start the next one, but it doesn't always work, does it? Well, they got round to rebuilding the foundations, and then they got distracted. God's commandments were ignored. And Haggai describes some of the consequences of disobeying God. We've got them on the next slide, I think. They lacked courage. Because they weren't disobeying him, they were disobeying God's commandments to do what he wanted them to and restore a temple in Jerusalem. They got discouraged. It's like when you have that piece of knitting or the piece of sewing and you think, oh, can I really be bothered to finish that jumper because I really hate doing sleeves or whatever it is. You get discouraged, don't you? But more than that, they've been discouraged in the face of opposition. They've lacked the courage to stand up to those who said, oh, you'll never do it. Ever have that said to you? Or those who said, oh, well, it's not going to look like the old one, so why are we bothering? It's not going to be as good as. Have you ever had that said to you? I think all of us will know echoes of that, won't we? The foundations have been built. Now Haggai sort of tries to galvanize them a bit, tries to sort of get them going, tries to get them into action. But what's actually happened is the people have got distracted into building their own houses. They've got distracted into making sure they're comfortable, into tilling the fields. And actually, they're just not satisfied with what they've got. And actually, what's happening, although they've got some quite nice houses, the harvest is never enough, the food's never enough, their clothes aren't warm enough, they haven't got enough money. They've expected much to happen. Now they're back in their own land. But actually, because they've been too busy to bother with God, there's been drought and famine. And that's what happens when they look inwards and focus on themselves and forget about God. Things don't go right. And again, I think we'll all have echoes of that in our lives, won't we? When we take our eyes off Jesus and look at the problem or look at what's going on and it feels so big and we forget about God and how big he is, then actually things don't go right. But actually, what happens as Haggai speaks to them, the people recognize that they've been disobedient. And what happens is they start to obey God. So let's have the next slide up. They're led by the governor and the high priest, those people with the long names, and they listen to Haggai. They start to obey God, and they start to finish rebuilding the temple. And Haggai gives them reassurance that even if what they build is going to lack the splendor of that original temple, actually, it will still be great. God says the glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the previous house. So when they know that God's with them, when they're brave despite opposition, then the temple will be filled with God's glory. They'll know peace. They'll know blessing. In the midst of that, we get this wonderful verse. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Be strong and work, for I am with you. And there's echoes from words in 1 Chronicles when David was encouraging his son Solomon to build that first temple. He said, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Isn't that wonderful? He will not fail you or forsake you until the work is finished. Be strong and courageous. And of course, that's said to Joshua, leading the people into the promised land way back before David. He was told, I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. There's a consequence of obeying God. There's a consequence of knowing he is with us and he will never leave us or forsake us. We can be strong and courageous, even when we don't feel like it. It's not our strength. It's strength that comes from God. And Haggai reminds the people of God's covenant given to them when he led them out of Egypt, of the promises made through David and Solomon that the temple would be filled with the glory of God. And he says it's going to happen again. He looks back to the faithfulness of God. But of course, all our prophets also look forward, don't they? And this, in a sense, looks forward to the coming of Jesus and the time when the people of God will themselves become living stones being built into a holy temple through the power of the Spirit. If you think back to our 175th celebration, if you were around then, we talked about being bricks or stones, living stones, and we all wrote our names and stuck them up on the pillars to show that we're all part of God's temple. It's not just about the building, it's about the people being built now. Because we're a temple that will never be destroyed, and we can be filled with the glory of God more fully than any previous temple. Jesus brings a peace that passes all understanding into the world as he builds us, his living stones, through the power of the Spirit into the temple of God. Through his death on the cross, that relationship with God that kept on being broken, that disobedience that the people were taken to task by Haggai for, actually there's a new way back to a relationship with God forever. Through Haggai's words, God reminds the people, because they've obeyed him, his Spirit will remain with them and they don't need to fear. At the end of the reading, in this place I will grant peace. And actually we know that through Jesus, God will never leave us or forsake us, and we will have peace that passes all understanding. Haggai finishes his book with reminders about how to conduct worship and bring acceptable offerings to God so the temple's maintained as a holy place. It's an ongoing job. They can't just build it and say, okay, fine, we've done that. Now we can sort of go back to our own houses and the crops and all the things we were distracted by before. They have to keep on worshipping God. They have to keep on doing it in the right way. They have to keep on being obedient. And the people will know God's blessing as they listen and obey. His promise is sealed forever. There's a wonderful image right at the end of Haggai, if you get to read all the way through the book, an image of a signet ring, God giving his seal and sign of acceptance to his people. And I was reminded of the story of the prodigal son when he comes back to his father and he's given a ring as a sign of his restoration into the family. Ultimately, God's promise of acceptance into his family and the transformation of believers into his dwelling place on earth will come true for all humankind through Jesus. And today we can know that blessing and that peace and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with us. So I'm going to stop there and come back in a minute. Eden's going to help and wave, folks. That was good. So back to the PowerPoint and some encouragements for us today. Encouragements to be strong, all you people, and work. Do the things God's calling us to. For he is with you. I am with you. From Haggai 2:4. So be strong, all you people of the Lord, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Next one, please, Danny. Here we are. Be strong. Where do we need to be strengthened? Each of us will have something different, don't we? Where do we find it hard to trust God? It can be really hard when things are difficult. But actually, sometimes it's equally hard when things are easy because we forget about God and we get distracted, like the people Haggai talks to. There's three times it's said in verse 4. Be strong, it said to the governor, the political leader. Be strong, it said to the high priest, the spiritual leader. And be strong, it said to all the people in the land, from the highest to the lowest, the strongest to the weakest. God strengthens everyone. Doesn't matter who we are, God strengthens us. He offers to be with us and strengthen us. We can remember the promises of the past. I love it. As soon as in the Bible it says, do not fear, I get a real reminder of people that God has called to difficult and unexpected things. There's Mary, told she's going to be the mother of God. Don't be afraid, says the angel. Strength's given to David to kill the giant. Well, I'd be pretty scared if I was facing Goliath, I can tell you. Samson defeating the Philistines, really strong armies like Gideon, who was told to lead an army in impossible odds. And then people like Solomon, given a task of building a temple, and no one had ever done anything like that before. Joshua, I mentioned him already, leading people into the promised land. And it goes on. Out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, the power of the Holy Spirit strengthened those frightened disciples and encouraged them to build the early church and spread the good news of Jesus, often in the face of persecution and real difficulties. We can be strong. We can remember God will help each one of us. God will help you. He'll help me. He'll help you and you and you. Even at the back, even online, God will help you and strengthen you. And he says to each one of us, do not fear. When we look at our fears, they grow. But actually, when we look at God, we're given the strength to face those fears. And each of us will have different things. But the promise is the same. And the command is the same. Be strong. Where do we need to be strong? What do we need God's help to face? Secondly, and work. What is God calling us to do? God has a job for each one of you. Each one of us. It's not just me stood up here. It's not just Eden because she's our youth and children's worker. It's not just the people who volunteer. But each one of us, God has a job. Not to build a temple, but to continue the work of building his body of believers, to grow disciples, to share the good news. God has a job for each one of us, and we're called to join in that work. What are we doing? What might we be called to next? Are we procrastinating and being distracted like those returned exiles? Are we putting it off because something seems too big or too difficult? We're not called to do it all at once. We're only called to do the first bit. They had to put one brick in order to put the next brick, in order to put the next layer of bricks. If you ever watched anyone building a house, they don't suddenly build a house. They put a frame up, or after the foundations, they start to build layers of bricks. And then they put the window frames in. It's a bit like that Duplo that Nathan was building for us. He couldn't just produce a house like that. It had to be done step by step. Sometimes we get deterred because the tasks seem too big. Are we expecting someone else to do it for us? Do we need a big push or some plain speaking to help us get going? Each of us will have something different, and each of us might have a reason why we're not quite doing it at the moment. Our workplaces aren't just where we go to work. They're our homes, our families, our schools, our friends, our shops, our leisure activities. It might be our employment, but actually it might be our retirement plans. It might be the street we live in. It might be the place we holiday in. I know some people who've gone on holiday and have started talking to people about Jesus over the breakfast table with people they've never met before. I've never managed to do that. I don't sit on aeroplanes and have really good conversations with people. I always sit next to the person who's got the headphones on and is listening to something. But it's an opportunity, isn't it? Whatever we do, wherever we go, we can be strong and work. God strengthens us so we can do his work. And that message, I am with you. The same message that actually came out of Zephaniah last week. God keeps his promise. My spirit remains among you. It's a promise that continues today. Jesus promised his followers his spirit would remain with them when he had to leave them. He breathed his spirit on them, and then it's fulfilled in the outpouring of the spirit on all people at Pentecost. It can be hard to trust God's with you. But when we ask for more of the Holy Spirit, he equips us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We can't trust our feelings. Our feelings go up and down. But actually, God remains the same. And he is always with us. So be strong, all you people of Holy Trinity. All you people who are watching or listening online. All you people who know and believe in the Lord Jesus or want to know him more, be strong. All you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. Get on with whatever it is God's calling you to next. Not what he's calling you to next week or next year or 10 years down the line, but what's he calling you to today and maybe tomorrow? Don't focus too much on what you can't do. But what can you do? Be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you. Hold on to that promise, whatever you do. I'm going to say a prayer for us all now, and then we're going to have a time where we can move around the church if we want to and use the prayer stations that's set up, or we can stay in our seat. There'll be some music and some pointers for prayer on the screen. But I'm just going to pray for us all now. Lord God, thank you for the words of Haggai. Thank you that you told your people to be strong and work, and that you would be with them. Thank you that when they stop being distracted and disobeying you and return to you, you help them to do the work you had in store for them. And you promised that the glory of the temple would be greater than anything that's gone before. Help us not to look backwards and remember things that we can't do anymore. Help us not to be panicked by the future and the things we can't control. But help us to know that you are always with us. And right now, you call each one of us to take the next step into whatever work you have for us. And help us to see that and know that we're equipped to what you call us to through the power of your Spirit. Fill us afresh now this morning. Give us more of you. More of your power within us, so that we can know that you're with us. We can know your strength and do your work. Amen. So there are three different prayer stations.